Encouraging word today. We've been in a series called Starting Point, and I've enjoyed that over the past 5 weeks, talking about where did our faith come from? You know, for some of us, we might grew up in church. For some of us, we didn't. Maybe it was a friend that told us about God and faith. Maybe it was somebody at camp. We were at different places, and so we're looking at what are some of the basic foundational truths that we have in our faith, and where are we in our belief system for that? I know the Sunday school class have been dealing with those same questions, and hopefully we're able to ask honest questions and find some answers that will strengthen our faith. And so I've been enjoying that, and I'll give you a review here on your outline as we get started this morning of where we have been in this past 5 weeks. We started by talking that answering the question, who is Jesus, is the beginning point of our Christian faith. Not necessarily if you believe the Bible or not, but what has Jesus meant to you? Because as a Christian faith, it is about Jesus in our lives. And then recognizing that I am a sinner is the first step toward reconciliation with God, that we need a Savior, and we are made right with God by our faith in Him, we talked about, and then that the law was given to show us our need for salvation and to prepare the way for salvation by faith in Christ. And then today we're looking at God's amazing forgiveness. And I put the title for this message, God's Unbelievable Forgiveness, because I think it's hard for us to believe it. I think it's hard for us to accept it, because I think it's outside of our realm, even of forgiveness. So I put an introduction on your outline there, why we have trouble understanding God's forgiveness. And I believe it's because we try to make God in our image. You know, God created us in His image, right? So that we could give glory to Him, but He's God and we're not. But then we have a tendency to try to make Him in our image. We try to say God's like us, don't we? I mean, so when we look around and we say, well, I could love that person, or we should love everybody in the world, and we should accept everybody, so if God doesn't do that, then He's not right, and I won't believe in a God like that. And we do the same thing with forgiveness. Well, I can't forgive everybody. I couldn't forgive some school shooter who shot 17 kids and killed them. I couldn't forgive a rapist murderer that's done that many times. I couldn't forgive him. Since I can't forgive him, God couldn't forgive him. If he does, I don't want to serve God, right? And so we try to make God in our image. We don't understand his greatness, his ability to forgive that's outside of us. And we do that for ourselves. I can't forgive myself. Since I can't forgive myself, I don't think God can forgive me either. We make God in our own image, and we think that he's like us, and so we don't really understand, and it's hard to have faith in a God that's like me. You wouldn't want to have a God like me, would you? But yet, you try to have a God like you. And that's not what the God is. We're going to look at who God is today from the Scriptures, and we're going to find out that He's a God like no other. There's no being like Him. We're not like Him. He's far above who we are, and He's a great God. So I want to take you to a passage in Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. It'll be up here on the screen for you, or you can follow along your Bibles if you'd like. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham as you pledged on oath to our fathers in days long ago. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would teach us about your unbelievable forgiveness. It's hard for us to grasp, but I pray that we would somehow look at your character today and see how that you are such a great and forgiving God that we might forgive ourselves and we might offer that forgiveness to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I put on your outline several keys to understanding God's awesome forgiveness that hopefully help us understand this a little bit more today. And the first is that God forgives out of his character. He has such a great character that it's out of his essence of who he is that he forgives. And part A there is that God is merciful. The Bible says that's part of his very nature is to be merciful. And I put a couple bullet points there for you to emphasize that. He doesn't stay angry. We have a tendency to get angry and stay angry, don't we? But God isn't that way. It says here that you do not stay angry. Now, sometimes anger is justified. I think you should be angry when somebody shoots and kills 17 kids. I think we should be angry when somebody is a victim of a drive-by shooting or a drug war. I think we should be angry when 6 million Jews are killed just because they're Jews. that we should be angry, and I think that God is, and the Bible says that he does shower his wrath upon people, that he is angry, but it says he does not stay angry. And you and I should be happy that he doesn't stay angry. That he does, out of his nature, is to turn to mercy. His nature is to be forgiving and to give people another chance. How many of you glad that God gives people another chance? I mean, we could all be wiped out today, wouldn't we? If God stayed angry and gave us what we deserved. But God is merciful. He doesn't stay angry. And this next bullet point is really amazing to me. He delights to show mercy to people that don't deserve it. He gives compassion, forbearance to those who are offenders, who deserve punishment. But delighting. Think about, what do you delight in? I delight in ice cream sundaes. I delight in going out to the lake. We always like to go to Grand Haven, and we walk the boardwalk, and there's an ice cream place there with all the different flavors. Have you ever been to that? They have wonderful ice cream flavor. I mean, delight in that. I delight in steaks on the grill or hamburgers on the grill. And probably if you delight in something, you don't say, no, I don't want any. Somebody offers you a hot fudge brownies, you know, with ice cream, and you probably don't turn that down because you delight in it. Maybe if you're a grandparent, like we are, you delight in your grandkids, and so it's not a burden for you to watch them. If you have a great friend and you like to text them every day and talk to them, it's not a burden for you to talk to them. You delight in them. And so, delighting. But think about that. God delights in showing mercy. As excited as you get as eating pizza at your favorite Pizza Hut restaurant or whatever, God delights in forgiving people. He delights in offering mercy, not just because he has to, but he delights in it. And so that just shows his very nature of his character, that he doesn't stay angry. He delights to show mercy. And the third bullet point there is that he has compassion. He's compassionate. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He cries when we cry. I think of all these people who are talking about suicides, and there's been a lot of them lately, or, you know, inadvertent overdoses. When people are upset and they're hurting, he cries about that. That affects him. When he sees people hurting and dying, that affects him. And so he's a compassionate, he's a merciful God. There's no one like him. There's no one like God. There's no one as merciful as God. You will not find another God like him in all the universe. You will not find another being like him in all the universe. Is there anybody like God? No, because his very nature is merciful. Now, another part of his mercy, of coming forgiveness, comes out of this is even more amazing to me, and that is that he's just. God is not only merciful, but he's just, which means that he has to punish sin. He's righteous, he's holy, there's no sin in him. Those people need to get what they deserve. They need to be punished. And so God, in a sense, to be forgiving and merciful is like his nature, has to deny another part of his nature, which is justice. How is he going to do that? You know, so he's all torn up about that, and the way that he justifies that, or he works that out, is that he paid the price for our sins. It says he gave Jesus to die on the cross for us so he could be merciful, so he could delight in giving us mercy and forgiveness. He took our sins, put it on his own son, so that he could be merciful to us. Does that make sense? Would you do that? Would you take your son, your daughter, send him to the cross to die for me? You wouldn't, would you? I wouldn't. Is there any being in the universe like God? There isn't. There's no God like him. There's nobody in nature like him. He's so merciful and so loving and wants to offer forgiveness so much that he dies in our place, gives his own son to die for us so that he can be merciful to us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that unbelievable? That you can even understand that somebody can be that forgiving and gracious as our God. It comes from his very character that he forgives. The second thing that God does that we don't often do, he forgives completely. It says here that you will tread our sins underfoot, you'll hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. We have a tendency to bring our sins back up, don't we? We have trouble forgetting our sins. I'll forgive them, but I won't forget it. Or I did forgive them, but later on when we get in an argument, I'll dredge it up again, right? We have a tendency not to forgive completely. We have a tendency to bring it up and hold it against people. But God's not like that. He forgives completely. This idea of treading on our sins, I wanted to give you an illustration of that, so I put it under A on your outline, that he conquers the power of sin in our lives. An illustration of that is in the Old Testament when five kings had waged war against Israel. Just after they entered the Promised Land, they were captured. And then we read in Joshua 10:24 through 26, when they had brought these kings to Joshua, he summoned all the men of Israel and said to the army commanders who had come with him, "Come here and put your feet on the necks of these kings." So they came forward and they placed their feet on their necks. And Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do to all the enemies that you are going to fight." So when you put your foot on the necks of these kings, it's an imagery of conquest and of victory. So Micah says, you will tread our sins underfoot. You're going to conquer them. You're going to defeat them. You will rule over them. You have power to defeat sin and conquer it in our life. That's what God does. He forgives. He wipes out our sin. He erases them from us. And the second point, which is really amazing to me, is that he completely, it's under B, he completely removes our sins from us and from his memory. It says here that he hurls our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Do you know what, here's a little question, do you know what the deepest spot in the oceans are, how deep it is? Does anybody know? 36,000 feet, 7 miles, is about the deepest spot. You can't go down there scuba diving. If you try it, you're going to burst and blow up. One person, I think, has gone that deep in a special type of idea that they could, I don't know if it's a big ball or, you know, it's weird looking things that they go that deep because nobody can go that deep. Humanly, we can't go that deep. So when God takes our sins and he throws them in the deepest sin, in the deepest sea, they're going to be remembered against us no more. And the Bible has a lot to say about that, about how God not only forgives us, but he forgets, and he puts it out of his memory. I think we need to hear that because I think we keep bringing it up. Do you keep beating yourself up with your sins? Do you keep remembering them? Do you keep telling God that you're not worthwhile because of all the bad things you've done? He doesn't remember it. It's already been canceled. Justification means just as you never did it. It's not even there anymore. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." I love that verse because how far is the east from the west? Now, north and south, if you go north or south, you always come to a point because you got the North Pole and you got the South Pole, right? If you head north far enough, you'll start heading south, won't you? If you go south far enough, will you start heading north? How far if you go east and west? If you go out here and start heading east, you can go all the way around the world. You'll never come to the point that you're going west. You start heading west, and I'm not pointing in the right direction, I know that. If you start going west, you'll go all the way around the world. You'll never come to the point that you're going east. So how far has God separated our sins from us? As far as the east is from the west. They'll never come together again. That's how far away it is. That's what the Bible says, that God is like that. It says in Jeremiah 50, which describes this kind of a hide-and-seek game, "In those days, at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for Israel's guilt, but there will be none, and for the sins of Judah, but none will be found, for I will forgive the remnant of Israel." I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to put it in the deepest sea. He said, I'm going to put it behind my back. You know, we go around and we try to dredge up the past and remember the past offenses, but God isn't like that. God throws our sins into the deepest sea, and then he puts up a no fishing sign and says, quit going fishing for those. But we have a tendency to dredge them up. And so, is there anybody like God? Is there any God like him in the universe? No. Is there any human like him in the universe? No. I mean, we forgive, but we can't forget. But God says, I not only forgive, I forget it. I put it in the deepest sin to see, to remember it no more. As far as the east is from the west, I will never bring them back together again. Isn't God great? Isn't his mercy unbelievable? You can't hardly get your head around it or understand it. So if God has forgiven you, do you need to dredge it up? Do you need to bring it up again? Probably not, because God's not remembering it against you either. He forgives completely. Number three, we see from this scripture that God forgives because he's made a promise. Unlike us, sometimes we break our promises. Have you ever broken a promise? I mean, probably you might have forgot. I promised to meet you somewhere. I'm going to be there. I forgot, or I didn't mean to, but I did. God never breaks a promise. God never goes back on his word. It said here in verse 20, "You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham as you pledged on oath to your father's days long ago." We've been studying Abraham, how God made that pledge to Abraham. I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to build that nation. I'm going to bless all the nations through you. And he did it, because he doesn't go back on a promise, and he's still faithful to them today. No matter when they've been unfaithful, they've turned against God, he's still there because he keeps his promises. The Bible says that quite often about him. Deuteronomy 7:9, Moses encouraged the people, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands, because he made a promise." When Solomon dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 6:14, he prayed, "O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, you who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way." Daniel prayed in Daniel 9:4, "O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands." When the walls were built back in exile, and Nehemiah reminded the people of this in Nehemiah 9:17, "They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery, but you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them." That's the nature of God. He's made promises, and even though we're always wandering away from him, he has had to deal with our rebellion at times and chastened us or disciplined us, but he's chosen to do that to bring us back and to stay true to his promise to forgive. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. 1 John 1:9 says what? "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Does he break his promises? Does he go against his promises? If it's true, then you need to believe it, because God is an awesome God, because God is like no other. Is there any being like him in the universe that's so merciful or forgiving and gracious? Is there any human like him? There is not. You will not find anybody like God who is so forgiving and gracious and merciful to us. Part 4, God's forgiveness involves personal sacrifice. He offers us free forgiveness when we ask, but it costs him a lot, doesn't it? What did it cost him? It cost him his son. He provided the sacrifice. His son was the lamb, remember? When Isaac was going to be sacrificed by Abraham, and God said, "Spare his life, I'm going to provide the sacrifice," and he brought the lamb. When they were coming out of Exodus, remember, we're going to be studying that as we go to Easter, of course, also about the Passover, they put blood over their doorpost, and through that faith, God, the death angel, passed over them. All looking forward to the fact that on Passover, which is going to come up here soon, that Jesus would be the perfect lamb that was going to go to the cross and die for us, that the death angel would pass over us. God forgives us. He has to offer justice, but he put all of our sin and our guilt on Jesus so that we could go free. Is there any God like that? Will you find any person like that? You will not, because he is an awesome and he's a wonderful, merciful, forgiving God, and he forgives us out of great sacrifice that he made on our behalf. Final point that is really amazing to me is not only that God does all this, because I would hate to do it, and I would hate to have to give up my son or my kids or anybody for anybody else, and I would probably be angry about it and hold a grudge against it, but the fact of the matter is that God rejoices to forgive. God rejoices in forgiving people. We talked about him delighting that, but if you look at Luke 15, it's a whole different story that Jesus talks about a coin that's lost, and there's great rejoicing when it's found. There's a lamb that wanders off, and there's great rejoicing when it's brought back to the fold. And it's a story of a son who wanders off and gets in all these troubles like a lot of people do, but when he comes back home, there's great rejoicing. That God rejoices to forgive. That when people come back to him, there's rejoicing in heaven. There's great celebration that goes on. It's not just something they have to do, but they want to do. It's great rejoicing. I was kind of reminded of that this week. We had Emily and Oliver here, and they had a big shower for Caitlin, so we had a whole house full, and we're sleeping at night. I got up one morning, and our little dog, Maylie, we have two dogs, a big one and a little one, I couldn't find her. And I thought, where is she? She's always the one that's the first one to the door. If I open up the door, it doesn't matter, middle of the night to go to the bathroom, or in the morning, there's Maylie. She comes out, and she's standing right there. So I'm looking through the whole house. I can't find her anywhere. I look out in the garage, I open the basement door, she doesn't come out, I went to the bedrooms, open the door, she's not around. And I remembered that the night before, for some reason, our bigger dog had gone to bed earlier, and I let Maylie outside. And I thought, did I forget and leave her outside? Or she's going to freeze to death. You know, this little dog is 30 degrees, there's frost out there. I mean, I was scared, probably just because I'm senile, but I was scared because I think that, what if the dog's out there? And I knew that happened to somebody. I knew somebody that they were watching somebody's dog, and it got off at night, and it actually went outside, and it froze to death. So I'm thinking, this dog's froze to death. And what if I left it outside, and it died? So I went out with my slippers, and I'm looking around on the deck, and I went down below. I mean, I was really scared. I thought this dog's dead, but she wasn't out there. And then I found out she was back in Emily and Oliver's bedroom, even though the door was shut. She never goes in there. Plus, they have their dog, which she fights all the time with. Why would she be in that bedroom? But we found out that our smoke alarm, the battery had gone dead, and it was beeping. She hated that beeping sound, and we had to find that out. She hid in the back bedroom as far as she could. But when I found out she was alive, I was rejoicing. Have you ever got to that place where you, oh no, I mean, you're scared. You think this is dead, but it's alive. And that's what God's like. He says, boy, my son was lost, and how awful I feel. And I think they're going to die, and there's no hope for that. But he's back again. He's alive, and there's great rejoicing. So I've been rejoicing over this dog still alive. And God said, you know, that's where I am with people when they come to me. When they're lost, they're wandering, and they're hurt, and they come back to me, I'm rejoicing. Is there any God like that? Is there any being like that? No, there is no God other than God, who's so merciful and loving, forgiving and kind, and gives up his life for us. And not only does he offer us mercy, he rejoices in it. He delights in it. He loves to do it in his life and for us. If you look at the applications this morning, I want to ask you a couple of these questions, because these lessons mean nothing if you don't apply them in your life. Do you understand God's forgiveness? It might be unbelievable. It might be beyond your comprehension. But do you understand that God can forgive you no matter what has happened in your life? Do you understand that God delights in offering you mercy? Do you understand there'd be great rejoicing in heaven if you come back to him? So the next question is, have you received God's forgiveness? So many times I think we know that God forgives others, but we can't receive it for ourselves because we think he couldn't forgive me. We worship a God we made in our own image. It's time to stop worshiping a God in our image and worship the true God who is unbelievable in his forgiveness and his grace. And then another hard question, are you offering God's forgiveness to others? If God forgives you when you don't deserve it, have you forgiven those other people that have hurt you? You know, honestly, if my kids were killed at school, I would have an awful lot of hard time forgiving that shooter. I don't think I could do it without God's grace. I don't think you can do it without God's grace because I don't think you're God. But I think God can help you. I think the Quakers have something when they offer forgiveness, they can do it. They understand God's grace and they can do it. I think I would struggle. I'd have to be on my knees all day praying, but I think God could help me do it because God's in me and Christ is in me. I can offer forgiveness because he's offered forgiveness to me. I can't if I'll do it. You need to accept God's forgiveness and not be dredging up the past. And you need to be able to offer forgiveness to others freely because God freely forgives you. Let's pray. God, when we think about your forgiveness, it's unbelievable to us. We wouldn't do it. We can't understand it. It's beyond us, but there's no God like you. There's no being like you. Your mercy is great. Your forgiveness is great. And you have forgiven us, Lord. And we thank you for that. We didn't deserve it. Help us to stop dredging up our past. Help us to believe. If there's anyone here today that's feeling guilty over something, they need to take it to you. Help them right now just to say, God, forgive me. In your forgiveness and your mercy, cleanse it and put it away from me and behind your back forever in the deepest sea. And help them to know you've done it and take that burden of guilt away. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who is holding something against somebody else and unable to forgive, help them to understand because of your great forgiveness and mercy, they can offer that to others as well. Help us to give those things to you and help us to seek to be like you in all that we do. Lord, I pray that you would be with this fellowship time, the potluck time. Bless the food. Thank you for people that's brought in, and just help us to share your love with one another. Offer grace as you've given it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.